committed, faithful guys that I know. Nathan did a full year at our ELC, our Elam Leadership College, doing the full-time classes. Then he did an entire full year of an internship, unpaid, and now he's in his second year of that. So I want to honor you, Nathan, for your commitment and your faithfulness to that. Why does he do that? He does it because he's passionate about what God is doing in this place and in this community, and he's amazing. He runs our Voltage program on a Sunday morning, so if you have children in the Voltage program, the reason they have a great time is because of his amazing leadership. And today he's going to come and bring a great word, but I want to preface it with this. This isn't one of those, let's give the intern a shot sort of a night. Nathan is a phenomenal communicator. He brings a great word. He's so natural and he's anointed to preach. So would you join me? Would you be upstanding as we honor what Nathan has done and for what he's going to bring tonight? You're the man. Come on up, bro. You got this. This is going to be good. So good.
Thanks, guys. What an intro, eh? Settle down. All right. So my name is Nathan, and I'm really excited because I'm going to be speaking to you tonight on a message that I love. It's called We Are Passionate. And who's passionate to be here tonight? All right, sweet. We've got about 13 and a half people. That's great. Let's pray, eh? Lord, we just honor you tonight. We just thank you that all that we do is for you. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And I pray that tonight, as I speak, that you'll speak to all of us and challenge us with what our next step can be and how we can show our passion for you and wherever we are in our work and our unis or wherever. We thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So not long ago, I sat down with my friend, Dr. Google. And I asked Dr. Google, I said, I don't know the meaning of a word. And so he introduced me to his friend, dictionary.com. And I said to dictionary.com, I said, what does it mean to be passionate? And this is what he said to me. He said, to be passionate means to be compelled by or ruled by an intense emotion or strong feeling. So it gave me the question. I thought to myself, what am I passionate about? What are you passionate about tonight? One of my passions in this life is green tea. And some of you may know this. I love green tea. It's great. And if you know Frosty, you'll know that he likes tea as well, but he hates green tea. He's into like, you know, Earl Grey, English Breakfast, those white people teas, you know. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? I'll drink some of those teas sometimes, but my favorite tea is by far green tea. And Frosty and I, we argue a lot about whose tea is better. See, we get fired up when someone challenges us and says that their tea is better than ours. We get fired up when someone challenges us on something we're passionate about. To avoid arguments and stuff, and Frosty and I will normally meet over coffee. But it's funny how fired up we actually get about this topic. You know, another thing I'm passionate about is cars. I love cars. I love working on them, making videos, whatever. But I remember my year 13 year at school, our ball was coming up, and I had invited a pretty lady to go to the ball with me, and oh, shucks. And so I thought, okay, my car needs to be clean, because that was what was important to me. So I spent two whole days polishing and cleaning my car, making it look absolutely fantastic. And I remember I was just finishing up, I was covered in polish, and I looked at the time, I was like, oh my goodness, I only have 30 minutes to get ready myself. So I jumped in the shower, had a quick shower, put my suit on, put hair gel in my hair, ran out the door, forgot my deodorant, and I was driving up to pick up my date for the ball. And I remember she lived about an hour away, and I was traveling, and then something happened. You see, it started raining. It started raining. It rained heavily all night. And nobody saw my car. Nobody saw the hard work, the passion that I put into cleaning my car. Not my date, not my friends, nobody. I was gutted, to say the least. But I was willing to put the time and the effort into it because I was passionate about it. You know, it's funny when I talk to people and I'll meet someone for the first time. I remember what they drive, but I don't remember their name. Like, it's real easy for me to remember that you drive a 1994 NZ New Toyota Corolla with a 4 AFE engine and a 1.6 liter manual transmission, but it's hard for me to remember that your name is Sally or whatever it is. You see, I'm passionate about cars, and I go crazy when I ask people, I say, what do you drive? And they say to me, oh, I don't know, it's a red car. Like, I go crazy. How do you spend thousands of dollars on something and you drive it every day to work, but you don't know its name? It doesn't make sense to me. But this is what being passionate is all about. Being ruled by or compelled by a strong emotion. And, you know, there's so many things we can be passionate about, but we can also passionately hate something. Does anyone passionately hate some things? When you get like a little notification on Facebook, you click on it, it's that mutual friend you barely know inviting you to play 8-pool or Candy Crush. I mean, who plays Candy Crush? Like, Candy Crush was like so 5 years ago. Another thing that I hate with a passion is answering the phone at home. Honestly, you never know who's going to be on the line. But I've narrowed it down to three categories, and it's usually one of these. Number one, it's someone trying to sell you something you don't want. All right. Number two, it's one of those really awkward, politically correct recorded messages telling you you have an overdue library book and you need to return it. Or number three, it's that long-lost retired family friend who calls you for the sake of talking for long periods of time when you're really busy, right? One day I was at home. I was chilling out. I had a few things to do, but not too much. And I was home alone, and the phone rang. And I thought, oh, I don't usually answer it, but maybe I should. You know, I'm home alone. I answered the phone, picked it up. And this lady, I had no idea who she was or where she came from. She started to tell me this big, long story about her house that she was renovating with her husband. And it was leaking and things were going wrong. They were running out of money. They couldn't finish their house. And then she started crying. And I was asking myself the question. I was saying, who is this lady? Why is she telling me this? Why is she crying? And then I realized she was a number three, the long-lost retired family friend. But she was passionate about that, I tell you. We can be passionate about liking something. We can also be passionate about hating something. And tonight I want to speak to you about someone in the New Testament who was passionate about hating a certain group of people. His name was Saul. And we hear about him in Acts 9. And it's funny because one day he was on his way to Damascus. And his job was to kill and persecute Christians. That's what he did. That was his jam. And he was on his way to Damascus, and it says in the Bible that he was looking for men, women, children, whoever, to take back to Jerusalem and put in prison. And it doesn't say that he had made any stops. I can imagine he's probably, you know, looking forward to BK in Damascus, kind of hungry, double whopper with cheese, whatever. He's on his way, and then something happens. You see, in Acts 9 verse 3, we read that a light flashed around him. It stopped him in his tracks. It goes like this. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He responded and said, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." We're told in scripture that Saul was with some men and they heard the voice, but they didn't see anybody. So they're freaking out, you know, like, where's that voice coming from? They'll be absolutely scared. But they pulled Saul up from the ground. He opened his eyes and he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, where he met a man named Ananias. Can you imagine being blind for 3 days? You just had a radical encounter with the creator of the universe, the person that you've been persecuting, his people. That would be freaky, right? Now you're blind. He met a man named Ananias. Ananias prayed for him. And after 3 days of blindness, the Bible says similar to scales fell off his eyes. He baptized them, and then they had a feed. Got his BK after all. But God then changed Saul's name to Paul. He started to use Paul to travel around, not persecuting Christians, but sharing the gospel, seeing people saved. You see, he became one of the most radical preachers in history. He planted many churches. God used him to write about 2/3 of the New Testament. And this man went from being passionate about killing Christians to passionate about making Christians. Why do I tell you this story? There's some things we can learn from the passionate life of Paul that can help us fulfill our own passion and what God has designed for us in our lives. The first thing I want to speak to you tonight about is passionate people don't give up. Write that down. It's in your notes. I've seen it. You know, when we look at the Apostle Paul's story, we realize that people who are passionate, they don't give up. Paul never gave up. He was locked up in jail numerous times for preaching the gospel. He suffered bad health. 5 whippings of 39 lashes each. 3 beatings, 1 stoning, 3 shipwrecks, and he ended up being beheaded in Rome for his faith. He was criticized, kicked out of towns and synagogues, but he never gave up. Why? Because God had redirected the passion in him to reach the lost. It didn't matter what the world threw at him. He wasn't going to give up because he was passionate. As Christians, we are passionate about God, what he has done and what he is doing. And when life gets hard, we don't believe in turning away from God. We believe in turning to God. You know, not long ago, a couple of years ago, and it was summertime, I was at Moraitai Beach, it's like promised land out there, and I was with my friend, we're relaxing, he was sunbathing, I was burning, and there was a boat, right? This boat came in, big, nice, like, sailboat, came in, and you could see it just parked just outside the channel, and these guys scrambled off the boat, they got in a little dinghy, and they went to shore for lunch, and we're looking at this boat, and I said to my friend, I was like, "Bro, we need to swim out to that boat." He's like, "Nah, bro. Like, you know, I had a hard week. Kind of just want to relax." No. I don't think you understand. We could be the guys that swam to the boat. Everybody would know us as the guys who did the thing that everyone wanted to do but didn't do it. And he's like, nah, man. After about 30 minutes of trying to convince my friend, we were in the water, we were swimming out to the boat, and I remember it was hard. He's a lot fitter than me. I was getting tired. It was tough. And we eventually made it to the boat. It was probably 500 meters offshore, which doesn't seem a lot, but it was for me. We get there. We finally get to the boat. We're like, yeah, dude, high five. We made it. Awesome. And my friend's like, eh, oh. And I was like, what are you looking at, bro? He's like, the shore, bro. We have to swim back. And I was like, you, you're so right. So we jumped in the water. And we started to swim back. And I remember it was like 10,000 times harder swimming back than it was swimming to the boat. We started to get tired. And I remember I got about halfway and I thought to myself, what if I just let go? What if I just stop swimming? See, I'd drown. I'd be consumed by everything that's around me, the water. And, you know, so often when times get tough, it can be so easy to look for things of immediate sources of satisfaction and happiness, whether that's in drugs or alcohol, bad relationships, financial positions, careers, whatever it is, we look for things that'll make us feel fulfilled. But nothing will fill you. Nothing will fill that void like the love of Jesus. And if we just give up and let things consume us, we'll never get to the shoreline. You know, we kept swimming because we wanted to be the guys that did what no one else was doing. We kept swimming. We kept our eyes on the shoreline. You see, Christians, when we keep our eyes on Jesus and we keep swimming, he'll get us through. Times got rough for Paul. The devil tried to take him out, but he kept his eyes on Jesus even when everyone else wasn't. He stuck to the things that God had done in him. He never forgot his testimony, his story, what God had done in the past. He knew he could do again in the future. What has God done in your life? What has he done in your family's life? What has he done in the church? Don't forget those things. That's your story. That's your testimony. Hold on to those things when times get tough. Remember your testimony, because just like Paul, we are passionate about all that God has done and is doing in our lives. The next thing I want to speak to you about is passionate people are vocal. In Matthew 12, verse 34, yeah, come on. It tells us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Has anyone seen some like ridiculous sports fans on TV? They just go absolutely crazy for their team. They might be sitting in an office all week, and then on Saturday, they're painting themselves yellow and going crazy. You know, someone who's passionate about his team is Frosty down here. He's passionate about the Hurricanes. And if you know, the Hurricanes are not very good, right? But he'll go around and he'll tell everybody in the office. He'll say, oh, they're going to take it out. They're going to take it. Everyone tells him, no, they're not, man. They suck. But he's passionate about his team. And he tells everyone about it. And then they end up losing. He wasted his time. But sorry, bro. It's nothing personal. They're just not very good. You know, he's passionate about his team. When everyone else is telling him otherwise, he'll stay true to what he believes, what he puts his hope in. I have a mate, and girls find him quite attractive. It's quite hard hanging out with him sometimes. Have a shame, settle down, eh? I remember when I was back in high school, girls used to come up to me sometimes and they say, hey, Nathan. And I'm like, oh, hey, oh, cool. And they'd be speaking to me and they say, hey, I tried talking to your friend. And I'd be like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's great, but he just talked about cars the whole time. I couldn't get a word in. I had no idea what he was talking about. You see, my friend, he was passionate about cars. And for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, what was in his heart, he wanted to speak about, whether people liked it or not, he wanted to tell them all about it. So he missed out on a lot of opportunities, but you know, we need to be vocal. We need to talk about what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. If we are passionate about God, we should seek him out. We should be actively seeking out opportunities to tell people about Jesus. You know, I used to work in a used car dealership. I used to clean the cars. I'm good at that. Cleaning. Great. So I worked with this guy and he was passionate. He's one of the most passionate people I've ever met. And what he was passionate about was illegal drugs. He used to go on and on and on about how good they are and how everyone should be doing them and how our economy would be so much better and blah, 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 brain damage. Honestly, this guy would not stop every time I worked with him. And I sat down and I thought one day, I was like, man, this guy needs Jesus. And I thought to myself, I was like, this is a perfect opportunity. He's so passionate about something and he shares about it all the time. Why can't I have that same passion for Jesus? And so I made it my mission. Every time he started to talk about drugs, I started to talk about Jesus. You know, he left our workplace. He moved to Australia and I don't know where he's at right now. I haven't
heard from him in a long time. But what I do know is while I was working with him, I was able to tell him about church, what we do at church. I was able to tell him about the love of Jesus and what happens when you accept Jesus into your heart. And I was able to tell him that God has a plan and a purpose for his life that is so much greater than anything that he can imagine. Church, I'm not telling you this to make myself look good or puff myself up. That's not what I'm doing at all. What I'm telling you this for is because I want you to know that in our workplace, in our worlds, in our unis, in our schools, wherever we're at, we don't have to be casting out demons to make a difference. We just have to shine a little light. You know, it could be a word of encouragement for someone. It could be an act of kindness for someone. It could be simply inviting someone to an event at church. Whatever it is, those things plant seeds in people's hearts and they can be life-changing like we could never imagine. Every little thing that we do to shine a light into people's worlds is a seed planted. It can make a bigger difference than we can ever imagine. Being vocal is so much more than talking about it. It's living it. Next thing I want to talk to you tonight about is passionate people stay committed. I bought this really rusty car a couple of years ago. And you get in it. The first thing that you notice is there's about 2 inches deep of water around your feet. You'd be driving down the road, there'd be wind gusting on your leg through all the rust holes in it. You'd be sitting at the lights, there'd be fumes, exhaust fumes pouring into the cabin. You're wanting the light to change so you can get some air. This thing was bad, and I knew it was bad. But I bought it because I wanted to make it a good car again. I was committed to it. And I remember there was exhaust pipes all over the place and wheels and everything, parts all around the house for months. And every moment of spare time I got, my dad and I were working on this car, trying to make it a good car again. And I was committed to making this car a good car again. Just like that car, you see, God is committed to using us. He's committed to shaping and molding us into the people he's designed us to be. But we also have to be committed to him. We have to be committed to him and his church and all the things that he is doing. You know, serving in different areas in church and discovering those God-given gifts and abilities that he's given you isn't just a bit of fun. It's life-changing. When you start to step out and use those things for God, you begin to understand why God has created you the way that you are. He is passionate about every single person here, and he's not looking for the most gifted, most talented person. He's not looking for those people. You see, he's just looking for people who are willing. He's looking for not ability, but he's looking for availability. There are so many of you here that serve in different areas in the church, and you guys are awesome. I know that you guys make sacrifices to do that. And we honestly honor you. However, I think sometimes we're guilty of thinking we're the ones that build the church. And that's true. But what is also true is while we're serving and building the church, God is building things in us too. It's a two-way street. Let us, you know, another way that we can show our passion is being committed by the way that we live. Being the same person in church as we are out of church. God honors those that stand up for their faith, their values, their beliefs, even in the midst of strong opposition. Let the way that we live our lives be a testimony to the people around us. Church, we believe in being, you know, we're passionate about this place. And we believe in that. We know that God has moved, is moving, and is going to move more. You know, when life throws a curveball, we don't believe in turning away from God, but we believe in turning to God. As Christians, we're called to be vocal about our faith and what God is doing. Not keeping things to ourselves, but understanding the importance of sharing the gospel. We're committed to this place. This is our home. Let that be a reflection of all that God's doing here. Let our actions be a reflection of the passion that we have for this place. Being passionate may not mean we have to go through all the hardships that the Apostle Paul went through. But if that is the case, then we have no excuse not to stand up for God and what he is doing here. You know, as Christians, we're passionate about who we are and where we're going. Now, if you do some research into the word passion, you'll find that it originates from a Latin word, which means to suffer or endure. Jesus showed us the true meaning of passion. When we're passionate about something we care about, we don't mind sacrificing for it. Jesus' death on the cross was that ultimate act of passion. He suffered and sacrificed himself to pay the price of our sin because he was passionate. He died and rose again on the third day so that we would have the option to choose life or death. He loves us. He loves you so much. Even if he had to die just for you, he would have. I'm going to invite the band to come back on stage. You know, you might be sitting here tonight and you might be saying to yourself, you know what? I used to be passionate. I used to be passionate about God and about church and all the things that he was doing. But I sort of lost that along the way. You see, I started to do my own thing. Can I encourage you tonight? God hasn't forgotten about you. You may have forgotten about God for a while, but He hasn't forgotten about you. And He's standing there with arms open wide, waiting for you to come home. Maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you heard about a little bit about Jesus. Maybe you haven't. Maybe this is your first time in church. God loves you. He's passionate about it. He has a plan and a purpose for your life that honestly, you can't even imagine how great it is. Jesus loves you so much. In Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, you will be saved. Tonight, whether you're making a decision for the first time or the thousandth time, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ tonight. I'm just going to ask everyone, bow their heads and close their eyes. I'm going to pray. And if you're one of these two people wanting to come back to God or making that decision for the first time to invite Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, then I want you to repeat this prayer in your heart. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I've done wrong against you. I believe that you died on the cross and you were raised to life again, paying the price of my sin for me and for giving me the opportunity to have a new life with God. Jesus, I confess that you are God and I invite you into my life tonight to be the Lord and Savior of my life and take me on a journey with you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, if I could just ask you to keep your eyes closed for a moment. I don't want to embarrass anyone here tonight. I don't want to single you out. But one thing that I do want to ask you to do is, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment, just so one of our team can see it. And they're in blue shirts, and they're going to approach you after the service, and they're just going to give you a Bible and pray with you and talk to you about the decision you've made. But if that was you, if you decided whether it was to come back after, you know, slipping away from God, or maybe it was the first time, the very first time you've actually accepted God into your heart, I want you to raise your hand now. I want you to raise your hand right now and acknowledge the decision that you've just made. Awesome. Awesome. I'm just going to pray. God, we thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you that you're passionate about each one of us and that we're not just another number. That you have individual plans and purposes for our life. God, I pray that you will challenge us in one area in our life that we can step out and do something new for you, God. Lord, we thank you. We honor you and we thank you for all these salvations that have happened tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, guys. I'm going to hand back to Frosty.
Come on, let's put a hand.